They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel which brought immortality and life to light, for the resources which are available to Thy people at this moment, and for the hope which Thou hast planted in our hearts. In Thy presence we confess that we have done things which we ought not to have done, and that we have left undone things which we ought to have done. Forgive us, we pray, and breathe into our hearts the forgiving Spirit. And enable us to remember that forgiveness is costly and always involved both justice and love. We commit to Thy care those who have special need of Thy help today, some of whom are deeply known and loved by us, including those who are sick, those who are lonely and perplexed, those who are weary and heavy laden, those who are bravely bearing with unmurmuring patience heavy responsibility. Enable us by Thy Spirit, O God, to say what is true and to do what is right, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Entitled, God's Goodness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and
give
my all
thy iniquities. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. In addition, I should like to read the 25th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And I should like for us to keep in our minds in these moments of worship the words, we are members one of another. We live in a shared personal existence, and we are under a shared responsibility. We are members one of another. In a recent study of theological education sponsored by the Episcopal Church in the United States and published under the title Ministry for Tomorrow, Dr. Charles Taylor identifies the major challenges to the church which are related to and intensified by the scientific, technological, secular character of contemporary culture, and records this conclusion: how effectively the church will meet the challenges in the coming crucial generations will depend in very large part upon the quality and competence of its ministry. In the same volume, Dr. Nathan M. Pusey, president of Harvard University and chairman of the Special Committee on Theological Education, which conducted the study, states that the basic difficulty in our world is not the growth of population or industrialization or spread of metropolis, but the increase of doubt. Doubt about the worth of what we are doing. Doubt about where we are going. Doubt about the concern and power and even the existence of God. This is the basic difficulty in our world. In view of these reflections upon the responsibility of Christian ministers and the seriousness of theological inquiry, as the crisis deepens in the nation and in the world, let me draw attention to the nature and the aspirations of this school. Perhaps I should pause to identify the sense in which I am using the word crisis. A crisis may be a turning point in an illness. Or a disturbance of equilibrium. I am using the word in the second meaning. And I am expressing the judgment that the crisis is deepening in this nation and in the world. And I might add, in terms of what Dr. Nathan Pusey has said, that many of our people have real doubts about the worth of what they are doing, about where they are going and about the existence and the goodness of God. In view of these reflections, what can we say about the nature and the aspirations of this school? It is to be noted at the outset that this is a theological seminary devoted to the search for knowledge and truth and the education of students for performance at a high level of competence in the complex ministries of the Christian ministry in the contemporary world. This means that the school is a community of learning deeply rooted in the Christian faith, thorough in scholarship, and vitally related to the churches. A relatively new definition of a dean has emerged in terms of his function. It has been said that it is the function of a dean to see that a school is what the president says it is. But I am speaking this morning not in terms of a dean and what he can do, or in terms of a president and what he can do. I am speaking in terms of a shared responsibility. This school is a shared responsibility. It is in part the responsibility of the Southern Baptist Convention, which voted in 1950 at Chicago to establish this school. A convention which has defined its purpose to bring men to God through Jesus Christ. A convention which elects the trustees and makes annual allocation of funds for theological education. It is a responsibility shared by the trustees, who participate in the formulation of broad policies and evaluate the work of the institution as a whole. It is a responsibility shared by students admitted to the school and given freedom and encouragement to live and study here. It is a responsibility shared by the faculty and staff who voluntarily devote their intelligence and their energy to the guidance of the quest. It is a responsibility shared by alumni. And I may say that many of us are greatly pleased that for the first time, the alumni of this school are engaged upon what they designate an annual alumni giving program. The alumni of this school are devoted to this school, and they are exploring ways to carry their part of the responsibility. The task here is too great for any administrative officer. It is too great for any member of the faculty. It is too great for any leader of the student body. It is too great for any trustee. It is too great for any one individual. It is a shared responsibility. We are members one of another. And in this context of shared responsibility, permit me to say three things about the nature of the school as I understand it. And I should like to be corrected if my understanding is deficient. In the first place, this school is deeply rooted in the Christian faith. There are individuals and institutions in our time who are afraid of deep rootage in the Christian faith. This school carries on the learning process with confidence in the power of truth and with trust in God, whose redemptive purpose has been revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In the second place, it is thorough in scholarship. This school was established and is supported by men and women who are deeply convinced that there is no substitute for excellence in the achievement of religious insights, in standards of academic performance, and in the lifelong habits of scholarly work. This conviction and no hunger for personal credit, this conviction that there is no substitute for excellence in Christian scholarship is the source of our deepest concern for qualified students, for distinguished teachers, for an excellent library, for adequate physical facilities, and for financial resources to undergird the whole enterprise in an expanded economy. For 3 years, we have raised our voice where decisions were being made about the allocation of funds for theological education in the Southern Baptist Convention. And for 3 years, we have said that in our judgment, the greatest need is for an improvement of the salary structure of our theological schools with special attention to faculty salaries. Last September, we were confronted with a temptation to say how urgently physical facilities are needed by the six seminaries of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we did have something to say on that subject. We believe that learning takes place best in a friendly atmosphere and in a setting, an environment that meets the essential needs of individuals as persons. But we found it impossible, in the light of what we had been saying about the urgent need for the improvement of salary structure, to make a strong plea for very many additional physical facilities on this campus. We did call attention to the need for an enlarged library building, and this need was documented by the best counsel that could be received from people in this field in the United States. And we called attention to the need for a few additional units of duplex housing for students. But before we did this, we said that God possesses our conscience, and we must stand by our conviction that the greatest need is not for additional physical facilities, but for the more adequate and more equitable support of the devout and competent men and women who carry on the work in these facilities. This is essential to scholarship. In the third place, this school is vitally related to the churches. There is ample evidence that the church has an opportunity in contemporary society to proclaim the distinctive message that God knows us as we are and loves us, to persuade persons to open their minds to the transforming power of the Spirit of God, to teach committed persons the Christian way of life, and to minister to the profoundest needs of persons in a depersonalized culture. It must be admitted that all who participate in this ministry are exposed daily to the betrayal of trust, the distortion of truth, and unrelenting cruelty. But our Master endured all of these forces and overcame evil with good. Now, this is a dangerous task, but it is the fundamental task in the Christian enterprise. In a penetrating analysis entitled A Christian Critique of American Culture, Dr. Julian Hart, published a few weeks ago, a book in which these words appear: In the Secret Life in God, the church rightly apprehends God's purpose in setting the church in the world, and rightly takes unto itself for comfort and for joy the life of God and the power of God's love. He will raise up the church from the grave of disobedience, anxiety, and pride, and send it again out into the main thoroughfares and the byways, alleys, and dead-end streets to preach the gospel without fear or favor. This is our shared responsibility. And in this community of learning, we have an opportunity to sharpen and to test theological and ethical insights, to draw nourishment into the inner life, that we may be able, with some degree of intelligence and courage and wisdom, to carry our part of the task, and not only to endure life as the crisis deepens, but to be creative persons. Let us pray. Lead on, O King Eternal. We follow, not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us. We journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.